السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، شكرا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we will be starting with a new chapter and a new discourse today inshallah, and that is the matter regarding Silatul Rahim. Silatul Rahim, after discussing our relationship with our parents, the next set of people that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has compiled a number of ahadith and a number of chapters regarding them, concerning what the disposition of the Muslims should be regarding these people. They are our relatives, our near relatives. That's why you see this word Ar-Rahim itself. Ar-Rahim itself takes its meaning from the womb, the place where the child grows in the womb of the mother. That is what is referred to as Ar-Rahim. When you have the ha with a kasra, Ar-Rahim or Ar-Rahmu, when the ha has a sukun. So when you say Ar-Rahim, you are referring to the place where the place from where the child grew up inside the womb of the mother. So let's assume we have a father and a mother now. This mother has a sister. You see that the sister of your mother, who is your maternal aunt, is connected with your mother from Ar-Rahim, because your mother and your maternal aunt, they have both grown up inside that Ar-Rahim. Likewise, our father, if we have paternal uncles and paternal aunts, you see that they are both grown up in the same womb. They have been connected from the same womb. So this connection itself is itself referred to as Ar-Rahim, the connection between our uncles and our aunts and so on. Like our grandparents, our parents grew up from their womb. Our cousins came from the womb from where our uncles came. And our uncles came from the womb from where our mothers and our fathers have come. So you see, the connection all have to do with people coming out from Ar-Rahim, from the womb. That is why essentially all these people with whom we have connections from the womb, they are all referred to as Ar-Rahim. So the ulama say that Ar-Rahim itself, they say it is ismun li kafatil aqarib. Ar-Rahim ismun li kafatil aqarib. Ar-Rahim is a name that is used to describe the entirety of our relatives, as if they are all passed through that same womb that has given birth to us. And even regarding ourselves and our own children, you see that our children have passed through, they grew up from the womb of our wives. So they came out from the womb. Their own children also will pass through their own wombs and come out. But their children are connected to us through our children. The grandchildren we have will be connected to us through our children. Our children pass through our own wombs, and their own children pass through their own wombs. So there's a connection all through the wombs. But the entirety of these set of people, they are all referred to as Ar-Rahim. So when you say Silatul Rahim, it is the entire institution of doing the things that connects these people, maintaining a good relationship with all of these people put together. And there's a major point of lesson here. We were discussing Birrul Walidain. And here we are talking about Silatul Rahim. Birrul Walidain is a part of Silatul Rahim. But the Walidain are ahakkun nas. Being kind and dutiful to our parents is part of connecting family ties. Except for the fact that our parents are the most rightful of the best of dealings inside the family. Of course, we came from the wombs of our parents. So our parents have the greater rights in terms of our family relatives when we compare them in terms of the rights over us. So you see, Birrul Walidain itself is a part of Silatul Rahim. So when we say Silatul Rahim, it still does not leave out Birrul Walidain. It's only expanding the frontiers of the family after our parents, then our relatives. And our parents are also part of our relatives. In fact, those relatives are connected to us largely through our parents because they all pass through the same womb as we have described them. The next group of people come from the same womb, then the next group of people come from the same womb. They are all connected from the womb from where our parents, whether our father or our mother, have come from. So Silatul Rahim is connecting family ties, connecting these all of these people that have been connected one way or the, either directly or indirectly, either primarily or secondarily. They have been connected to the same womb from where our parents have come, or they have been connected to the same womb from which we have come. If we ourselves, we have children, our children and the children of our own brothers, we and our brothers or our sisters have come from the same womb. And our brothers and our sisters have their own children. So you see, their children are secondarily connected to the same womb from where we have come. So like that, it comes in grades and in levels from one level to the other. At the end of it, you see that we are all connected from that same womb from where we have come and from where our own parents have come. So the entirety of all of us that are connected by birth, that are connected like this, we ourselves are referred to as Ar-Rahim. Ulama say that Ar-Rahim ismun likafatil aqarim. Ar-Rahim is the name, the noun that describes the entirety of our relatives. Min ghayri farkin, without differentiating bain al-mahrami wa ghayrihi, whether those relatives are from our maharim or those relatives are not from our maharim. As long as they are our relatives, the name that gathers and describes them all is that word Ar-Rahim. Don't forget that amongst our relatives, there are those that are from our maharim. The mahram are those people that they are predicted for us to marry forever, like our own daughters, like our own mothers, like our own aunts. These are our maharim and they are our relatives. And there are those that are not prohibited for us in marriage, like our cousins. They are not our maharim, but they are from our aqarib because they are still connected to us. They are from our relatives, because they are still connected to us by birth through the womb, as we have described. So meaning that the aqarib, whether the person is from the mahram or the person is not from the mahram, they could be from our aqarib, they could be from our relatives. Meaning that you can have relatives that are from mahram and relatives that are not from our mahram. We can have relatives that are from our mahram, people that we cannot marry forever. And we can have relatives from that are not from our mahram, relatives that we can marry as far as the rules of the Sharia of Islam is concerned. So Silatul Rahim is the issue, the generality of connecting family ties and maintaining good relationship with these people with whom we share birth, with whom we share the womb, with whom we share are a relationship. So this is what is referred to as silatul rahim. But here in this chapter heading, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says that Babu wujudi silatul rahmi, the chapter regarding the obligation. We want to prove that it is compulsory for us to maintain, to connect and maintain the ties of kinship. We want to read the narrations regarding the fact that it is compulsory for us to connect and to maintain family ties. The sila itself, ulama say that when we talk about sila to rahim, the sila itself, they say it is isalul khair ilayhim. Being nice, bringing every kind of goodness to our relatives, whether in terms of speech or in terms of action, bringing goodness to our relatives, and wadafu sharri anhum, and putting away evil from them. So if you ask us, what does this mean to say, oh, maintain good family ties, bring every kind of goodness that you can find to them, and take away every kind of evil you can find from them as much as is possible. Because of course, al-qudratu manatu taklif, the basic ruling about legal responsibility in Islam is ability. The basic ruling about legal responsibility in Islam is ability. So it means silatul rahim is bringing every kind of goodness that we can find to our relatives as much as we are able to, and removing every kind of evil from them, or protecting them from every kind of evil as much as we are able. Ulama say this involves issues of sending them gifts, giving them salam, asking after their welfare, and then providing their needs, helping them upon goodness, and then discouraging them from acts of sin, praying for them from behind, them asking Allah to guide them. And all of these that we know are from the acts of goodness. We should make good efforts to direct it towards them and make good efforts to avert any kind of evil from them and not bring them inconvenience. So this is essentially what is silatul rahim. But here, Al-Imam al-Bukhari seeks to tell us about the obligation of, the compulsoriness of doing this, carrying out these good deeds regarding our relatives. And Islam, this goes to make us understand that Islam places a lot of importance and significance to this. In fact, one of the early Muslims said that silatul rahim, he said, silatul rahim mahmudatun fi kulli din. It's not just in Islam. If you go to Christianity, they also talk about connecting family ties. If you go to Judaism, they are also talking about family ties. Everywhere people think, claim that they are giving worship to Allah, you see them talking about giving family ties. It's not restricted to Islam. It's something that is known to humanity by basic practice. Everybody knows that as a basic rule, that you have to connect family ties, but the rulings regarding it and the details of it may be different from a group of people to the other. If we look at the Quran, there are many places in the Quran wherein Allah has obligated us, commanded us to connect family ties. There's a verse we recite regularly when we make sermons. That verse occurs in Surah An-Nisa. We say, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. In the front of it, we come back and say, Wa taqu Allah alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. Wa taqu Allah alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. Allah commands us to be fearful of Him. Wa taqu Allah, fear my punishments. Be fearful. You should put it in your mind consciously that I have punishment for those who disobey me. I have punishment for those who violate my instructions and my injunctions. Wattaqullah, so fear Allah. And this Allah is the one by whom you all regularly seek your needs. For the sake of Allah, can you do this for me? For the sake of Allah, can you do this for me? So once Allah mentioned that we should be fearful of His punishments, the next thing He mentioned, He said, Wal arham, be fearful. Be conscious of the fact that you must connect family ties, and that the family ties must not be disconnected from your own behavior, from your statements, and from your character. The family ties must not be connected, must not be disconnected from you. This is what Allah warns us regarding in this part of the Quran in Surah An-Nisa. It says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ. And then he says, وَالْأَرْحَامُ. That is, وَاتَّقُوا الْأَرْحَامُ. Be careful regarding your arham also. That is, regarding your family ties. Be sure that you keep your family ties. This verse is one evidence that keeping family ties is obligatory in Islam. There's also a verse that's very common to us in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the early part of Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah says, وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَيُّ صَلَى وَيُسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ. Allah was describing al-fasiqun, the criminals, the sinful, disobedient people. And one of the things Allah said regarding them, that يَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَيُّ صَلَى. They break, they disconnect what Allah has commanded should be connected. Ulama say they break family ties, and family ties have been ordered to be connected by Allah. يَقْطَعُونَ, they cut it off, they break it, they break the family ties. And Allah has commanded that family ties must be connected. So these are verses from the Quran that show that connecting family ties is obligatory. Likewise, in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there are a number of ahadith. One of the scholars has gone to compile an entire book about the various ahadith that command us and encourage us upon connecting family ties. Long ago, the first of them that I can remember is was Al-Imam Al-Haytham. He has an entire book on connecting family ties. The next person was Sheikh Al-Islam Musa Haji in a recent time. He also has a book, Sahihu Silati Rahim. Sahihu Silati Rahim. That is authentic report about connecting family ties. There are a number of ahadith in these works about connecting family ties. In Sahihu Silati Rahim by Sheikh Al-Islam Musa Haji, the narrations from the Prophet alone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are about 100. There are about 100 ahadith about connecting family ties. You can go through them one after the other. He did that and he ascribed them. All these reports are authentic reports. There's no single weak report in this book by Sheikh Isam Musa Hadi about the obligation of connecting family ties. Likewise, connecting family ties is described in Ijma. There's Ijma. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi cited Al-Ijma. He says, Rahimahullah, اتفقت الملات على أن صلة الرحم واجبة. اتفقت الملة على أن صلة الرحم واجبة. The entirety of the millah, the entirety of the Muslims are agreed that connecting family ties is obligatory. وأن قطيعتها محرمة. And that disconnecting family ties is prohibited. So connecting family ties is established from the Quran to be obligatory. It is established from the Sunnah to be obligatory. It is also established from Ijma, the consensus, to be obligatory. Connecting family ties is established from the Quran to be obligatory. It is established from the Sunnah to be obligatory. In the Hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Bullu arhamakum. Bullu arhamakum. Wet it. He mentioned it like a land. We are coming back to that in one of the hadith that we read today. He said, wet it, maintain it. Bullu arhamakum walau bisalam. The Prophet said so, alayhi salam. Bullu arhamakum. Maintain your ties of kingship. Walau bisalam. Even if it be by merely asking, assalamu alaikum. Maintain your ties of kingship. And this has come with the sigatul am. Bullu arhamakum. Connect your family ties. So connecting family ties is obligatory from the Quran. It's obligatory from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It's also obligatory by Ijma, as Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi and many others amongst the scholars have said. So we'll be reading reports here, inshallah, under this chapter heading, regarding the fact that connecting family ties is obligatory. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, babu wujubi silati rahim. Babu wujubi silati rahim. The chapter about the obligation of connecting family ties. He said in it, rahimahullah, حدثنا موسى ابن إسماعيل قال حدثنا ضمضم ابن عمرو الحنفي قال حدثنا كليب بن منفعة قال قال جدي يا رسول الله من أبر قال أمك وأباك وأختك وأخاك ومولاك الذي تلي ومولاك الذي يلي ذاك حق واجب ورحم موصولة قال أمك قال جدي يا رسول الله من أبر قال أمك وأباك وأختك وأخاك ومولاك الذي يلي ذاك حق واجب ورحم موصولة. الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله حدثنا موسى بن إسماعيل. He's reported this hadith from his Sheikh موسى بن إسماعيل. We note that we read a number of ahadith from this Sheikh of الإمام البخاري موسى بن إسماعيل. And then he is reporting from his Sheikh ضمضم بن عمرو الحنفي. ضمضم ابن عمرو الحنفي أبو الأسود قال حدثنا كليب بن منفعة. ضمضم is reporting this hadith from كليب بن منفعة, who said قال جدي. كليب بن منفعة said my grandfather reported to me, and the name of his grandfather is بكر بن الحارث. بكر بن الحارث is the grandfather of كليب. جدو كليب, the grandfather of كليب ibn Manfa'ah, in this chain of reports, is Bakr ibn al-Harith, radiyallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulallah, man abar, O Messenger of Allah, to whom should I be kind? To whom should I show dutifulness? To whom should I show goodness? Who should I relate with in the best of ways? قال, and the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ummak, your mother, you should relate in the best of ways firstly to your mother, wa abak, and then your father, wa ukhtak, and then your sister, wa akhak, and then your brother, wa mawlaka alladhi yali zalik, and your relatives. Mawlaka here means wa qareebuka, and then your relatives, الذي يلي ذاك, those who are nearest to those ones that we have mentioned. He had mentioned our father, our mother, our sister, and then our brothers, and then the rest of the relatives who are nearest to these ones. حَقٌ وَاجِبٌ, this is the point of reference. حَقٌ وَاجِبٌ, this niceness to them is حَقٌ, is a right, وَاجِبٌ, that is compulsory. This is from where Al-Imam al-Bukhari picks the obligation of Silatul Rahim, and is the reason why he has included this hadith under this chapter heading. He calls it Hakkun Wajibun. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam referred to it as Hakkun. It is a right, Wajibun. This birru that you have asked about, this niceness, this goodness that you have asked about, to whom you should give it to. It says your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and those your relatives that are close to these ones. The Prophet now described that goodness. He says it is hakun, it is a right that is wajib, that is compulsory, wa rahimun, and a family tie, mawsulatun, that must be connected. وَرَحِمٌ, and it is a family tie, مَوْسُولَةٌ, that must be connected. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, مَنْ أَبَرُ, to whom should I be kind, to whom should I be most compassionate? To whom should I be the best in my character? To whom should I direct it to? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith, ummak, your mother, wa abak, then your father, wa ukhtak, your sister, wa akhak, your brother, wa mawlak alladhi yali dhak, and your relatives that follow these ones that we have said, hakun, that relationship is a right, wajibun, that is compulsory, wa rahimun, and a family tie, mawsulatun, that must be connected. This is what this hadith has said here. If we look at the screen, we'll see that this hadith number 47 here is rather to be a weak hadith. This hadith number 47 is rather to be a weak hadith, but its meaning is correct. We say its meaning is correct because it is proven in other reports. If we go to hadith number 3, we see that the meaning of this hadith occurs in hadith number 3 that we read. The hadith of Muawiyah ibn Haydah. That is the hadith of Ba'az ibn Hakim and Abihi and Jaddihi, wherein he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man abar, messenger of Allah, to whom should I be most kind? Who should I show the best of kindness? Qala ummak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother. Qultu man abar. He asked again, and the Prophet answered, ummak, your mother. He asked, man abar, he asked again. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ummak, qultu man abar. He asked on the fourth occasion, and the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abaka, your father. And then he said, summa al-aqrab, fal-aqrab. The Prophet then said, summa, after your father, then al-aqraba, the nearer they are, fal-aqrab, then the nearer, then, that is, the nearest ones, then the nearest ones, then the nearest ones, then the nearest ones. And I think on that occasion, we recall to mention how near our relatives are to us. We mentioned that our relatives, as in other reports of this hadith, we just read now the hadith number 3. In other reports, it said, Summa adnaka wa adnak. Summa adnaka, adnak. Then those ones that are nearer to you, then those ones that are nearer to you. Like he said here, Al aqrab of Al aqrab. Then the nearest ones, then the nearest ones, then the nearest ones. We remember that we'd explained in that hadith that the nearest of the people after our parents to us are our children. After a man's father and his mother, after a woman's father and his mother, those most deserving of his attention or her attention are her children. Summa al-ajdad, and then the grandparents, the grandfather and the grandmother, and then the sisters, your sisters and your brothers, then summa sa'irul maharim, then the rest of the maharim, those who are permitted for you to marry, kal-a'mam, like your uncles, paternal and maternal, as the case may be, and then the rest amongst the maharim. I think we read this hadith to us and gave these details on that occasion. So when here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned wa mawlaka alladhi yali dhak, we should understand those that are in reference. Once a man becomes fair in his dealing and dutiful to the parents, once the parents are removed, then the next set of people are our children. Then the next set of people are our grandparents, if we have them. Then the next set of people are our own brothers and then our own sisters. This is how it goes. Then after that, our aunts, paternal and maternal, and our uncles, paternal and maternal. So this is how that relationship goes. In this hadith, hadith number 47, we find the meaning of this hadith number 47 in hadith number 3, wherein the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, summa al-aqrab fal-aqrab. Then the nearest one, then the nearest one. The nearest ones to us are our fathers and our mothers. We have known their own. The mother has the right three times than the father in terms of rights and kindness to them. And then we have our children. And then we have our grandparents. And then our brothers and our sisters. And then our uncles and so on and so forth. We also have the meaning of this hadith that we have read here in hadith number 60. But we'll not bother to go back there right away. We are just mentioning that the meaning of this hadith is authentic, even though the chain of report is not authentic. Hadith number 47. The meaning of the hadith is sound. Why? It is proven from other hadiths to be correct, even though the chain of reports that has reported this very hadith is not sound. I hope that that is clear, inshallah. And we'll find the meaning of hadith number 47 under hadith number 3 and hadith number 60. We'll soon be coming to hadith number 60, and we had read hadith number 3. We had read hadith number 3, we'll be coming to hadith number 60. And hadith number 47 has its meaning confirmed in hadith number 3 and hadith number 60. I think it will suffice to move to the next hadith. Hadith number 48 under the chapter heading Babu Wujubi Silatir Rahim, the chapter about the obligation of connecting family ties. The first hadith there is hadith number 47 that we have read. The next hadith is hadith number 48. Al-Imam al-Bukhari also reported it from his Shaykh Musa ibn Ismail. So he says, Haddathana Musa ibn Ismail, Qala Haddathana Abu Awana, An Abdil Malik ibn Umayr, An Musa ibn Talha, An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, Qala, Lamma nazalat hadhihi al-aya, Wa anzir ashirat al-aqrabin, قام النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فنادى يا بني كعب بن لؤي أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار يا بني عبد المناف يا بني عبد مناف أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار يا بني هاشم أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار يا بني عبد المطلب أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار يا فاطمة بنت محمد أنقذي نفسك من النار فإني لا أملك لك من الله شيئا غير أن لكم رحما سأبلها ببلالها فإني لا أملك لك من الله شيئا غير أن لكم رحما فأبلها ببلالها فأبلها ببلالها. In some of the prints of this book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, you find it as سأبلهما. The correct thing is سأبلها. This is what is occurring in the rest of the prints. And then if you go back to Sahih Muslim and other books of hadith where you find this hadith, it is Sa'abulluha. It is also reported from the hadith of Amr ibn al-As as Sa'abulluha. So we should try to correct that and place it as Sa'abulluha. In this copy we have on the screen by one of our teachers, Sheikh Samir ibn Amin al-Zuhairi, it is also Sa'abulluha bibilaliha and not Sa'abulluhuma. Sa'abulluhuma occurs in the print of Maktabatu al-Hadi al-Muhammadi. So it is Sa'abulluha and not Sa'abulluhuma. Sa'abulluha. We'll come back to the meaning, inshallah, and we'll explain the difference between the two expressions. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Musa ibn Ismail, who said, حدثنا أبو عوانا. أبو عوانا in this hadith is الإمام الوضاح ابن عبد الله. الوضاح ابن عبد الله, أبو عوانا. عن عبد الملك ابن عمير. أبو عوانا reported from his Sheikh عبد الملك ابن عمير عن موسى ابن طلحة The third E of this hadith is Musa ibn Talha an Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. He is reporting from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, Lamma nazalat hazihi al-aya, when the verse came down, wa anzir ashirataka al-aqrabi, this verse occurs in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, verse 214, wa anzir ashirataka al-aqrabi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was commanded to warn his relatives, al-aqrabin, the near ones amongst his relatives, wa anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, warn your relatives, warn your near relatives. Allah revealed this verse to him in the Quran. وَأَنْذِرْ أَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ O Muhammad, warn your family members, warn your near kindred, your kith and kin, warn them. That is, he should warn them about Allah's punishment so that they abandon shirk and come into Islam fully. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also asked to warn his family. So you will see, oh their brother, that we have a duty to our family to tell them about Islam. I have been very, very personally concerned about this matter in the last few months. Let's be concerned about telling our family members, starting from our wives, starting from our children, starting from our brothers, starting from our uncles, our grandparents when we have them. Our relatives must know the sunnah that Allah has given us the privilege to know and understand. Tell them about Islam. Tell them about the deen. You could see the Prophet here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was given this command by Allah, وَأَنْزِرْ أَشِرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَضِ. Warn your family, your near relatives, warn them about Allah's punishment if they fail to accept Islam as is appropriate. So we also have that duty, oh brothers. Our duty is not just to warn people. People are always concerned about people. I want to warn the people outside. I want to warn, how about you? How about your wives? How about your own brothers? You watch the rest of the people. How about your brothers? How about your uncles? How about your near relatives? Here was the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, being commanded at the beginning of his da'wah. وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِ O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, warn your relatives, warn your near relatives. So we shouldn't find any brother who is upon the sunnah who is not able to tell his relatives about his religion. And you find many of our brothers wanting in this aspect. Many of us don't tell our families, we don't tell our parents, we don't tell our brothers, we don't tell our uncles, we don't tell our wives. Many of the brothers in our homes today, we hardly even discuss the religion. We hardly even put a book down. Let's read a book. Let's read Riyadh Salihin. Let's tell ourselves, let's warn ourselves regarding Allah's punishment so that we all move away from whatever Allah dislikes. We all move away from the violations, that the restrictions regarding which Allah has placed. We hardly find this. And we all have brothers and sisters and relatives and aunts and cousins and so on that are connected to so many other things other than Islam. But you find so many people, so a person will say, no, he's a da'i, so he wants to call the rest of the people, but he's not calling his own family and relatives. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to call his relatives. So he did that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَامَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam got that instruction from Allah, قَامَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ The Prophet stood up to a high hill, to a hilly area, so that the people can hear his call. And he began to call them, يَا بَنِي كَعْبِ ibn لُؤَيْ Oh, the tribe of كَعْبِ ibn لُؤَيْ Ankihu anfusakum minan nar. Save yourself from the punishment of the fire. Ya bani Abdi Manaf. O you children, O you descendants of Abdi Manaf. Ankihu anfusakum minan nar. Save yourself from the torment of the fire. Ya Bani Hashim, O you children of Hashim, Ankizu Anfusakum Minan Nar, save yourself from the fire. Ya Bani Abdul Muttalib, O you children of Abdul Muttalib, Ankizu Anfusakum Minan Nar, save yourself from the torment of the fire. All of these groups of people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was calling and inviting upon Allah's instruction. They are all non-Muslims at the time that he was calling them. And yet Allah referred to them as the relatives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There are 2 points of benefit we can derive from this point. The first of them is that whether you have relatives that are non-Muslims or relatives that are even polytheists, they are still your relatives. Whether the relatives are polytheists, or the relatives are Christians, or the relatives are Jews, they are still your relatives. And from the best of what you can do to them, that is the second point of benefit, is to invite them to Islam. The best of what you can do to your relatives is to invite them to Islam. Unfortunately, some of the people restrict the relationship between themselves and their non-Muslim relatives to exchange of gifts. The Christmas is going to come now. Some of the people start saying, oh, they are our relatives. Exchange gifts. Exchanging gifts at this time have their own rulings in Islam. Exchanging gifts at this time has their own rulings in Islam. Follow that ruling. Don't say on your own you want to connect family ties and then you are exchanging gifts at this kind of a time. Don't do it, because it has its own rulings and it will interpret a support for what they are upon. Instead of giving them gifts, why not tell them the reason why they should be Muslims and not be celebrating the Christmas? Why not compile a lecture? Why not compile a handwritten message about why they should leave what they are doing and come upon the board with you upon Islam? So these are the essentials that we need to expose our relatives to. And doing so, we must show genuine concern for them, like we will see in this call by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even while reading it, you can feel the genuine concern of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya bani Abdi Manaf, ankizu anfusakum minan nar. Ya bani Fulan, ankizu anfusakum minan nar. Ya bani Hashim, ankizu anfusakum minan nar. You can see the concern. You can feel the concern the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam employed while he invited his near relatives into Islam. We should pay attention to these, our relatives, our wives, our children, our grandparents, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins who are upon other than Islam. We must pay good attention to bringing them into Islam. That must include making dua for them and telling them about Islam face to face. Likewise, those who are not upon Islam correctly, those who are not upon Islam correctly, we also owe them the duty of paying attention to them. One of the brothers said recently that one of the reasons why some of our brothers now pay attention to the faults of others is that they have not looked inwards within themselves. They forgot their own faults and the faults in their wives and their children and their parents and their grandparents, and then they pay attention to the rest of the people. If you want to warn someone regarding a person, don't forget you yourself. Who are you? How are you in your house? How are you with your children? How are you with your family? When you pay attention to this, you see you only have little time for backbiting and slandering. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah referred to his non-Muslim relatives as his relatives. So he called them all the children of Abdul Manaf, all children of Hashim, all children of Lu'ay, Ka'b ibn Lu'ay. All of you, save yourself from the punishment of the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Fatima tu binta Muhammadin, O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, ankibi nafsaki minan nar, save yourself from the torment of the fire. Fa inni, because myself, Muhammad, لا أملك لك من الله شيئا. I will not protect you regarding Allah in any way. I cannot protect you regarding Allah, that is regarding Allah's punishment for those who have not accepted Islam. If the person does not accept Islam, the Shafa'a of the Prophet will not be there for that person. This is what this hadith is saying. If the person does not accept Islam, to say that, oh, my father was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not beneficial to him. So the only time that the Prophet will be beneficial to Fatima alayhi salatu wasalam radiallahu anha is when Fatima accepts Islam. The only time when we as children who inshallah upon the sunnah, may Allah make us die upon the sunnah, will be beneficial to our parents or relatives who are not upon Islam is when they are upon Islam. When they are not upon Islam, there is no benefit. فَإِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. This was what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was saying to Fatima. I will not be able to protect you regarding Allah's punishment if you are not upon Islam. This is clear-cut evidence that our daughters are from our relatives. This is clear-cut evidence that our daughters are from our relatives. Why? Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, warn your relatives, and then he is referring to his daughter. So your daughter is from amongst your relatives, and the females who are related to you are also from amongst your relatives. This is what this hadith would mean. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, غَيْرَ أَنَّ لَكُمْ رَحِيمًا. If I have invited you to Islam, and I will not be beneficial to you unless you accept Islam, لَكُمْ رَحِيمًا, you have a family tie, فَأَبُلُّهَا بِبِلَالِهَا, you have a family tie, فَأَبُلُّهَا, I will wet it. I will wet that family tie. That is, I will maintain that family tie, bibilaliha, in the manner that it should be wet. I will maintain the family ties in the manner that it should be maintained. I will connect the family ties in the manner that it should be connected. I will show goodness to you as far as family ties is concerned. But as far as Islam and deen is concerned, you must accept Islam. As far as deen is concerned, you must accept Islam before I will be beneficial to you. But as far as family ties is concerned, I will connect family ties with you. This is evidence that, like we mentioned earlier, even though we have relatives who may be upon other than Islam, yes, we still connect family ties with them, we pray for them, we make da'wah to them, and we show the kind of goodness to them that will encourage them to come upon Islam. It is not when you begin to follow them upon their ways. It is not when you begin to joke the kind of joke that they joke that you can help them come upon Islam, because some of the people will overstretch this platform that the Sharia has placed as a bridge. And then they begin to follow those relatives. Oh, even in Islam, we are asked to be nice and kind to our relatives. It has a limit, not in their own terms. That's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَبُلُّهَا بِلَالِهَا, I will maintain it in the way that it should be maintained. So there is a way to maintain relationship with relatives who are non-Muslims. And that is in every way and manner that can encourage them to accept Islam as far as Islam accepts it as a way. For example, if you give them gifts during Christmas, now it's wrong in Islam. This is not from the ways the Prophet was talking about, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَبُلُّهَا بِبِلَادِهَا, I will maintain the family ties in the way that it should be maintained. That is, in the way that the Quran and the Sunnah allows us to maintain family ties with non-Muslims, that is the way we should maintain family ties with non-Muslims. When the Quran and the Sunnah does not allow us to maintain family ties in a particular way and manner, we should not maintain family ties in that way and manner with them. I hope that this matter is clear so that we do not extend it beyond the limits that it has come to set for itself. There's also a major point of benefit here. That major point of benefit is also captured in another hadith in which the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what actually benefits the individual is the deed of that individual. He says, man baqta'a bihi amaluhu lam yakun li yusri'a bihi nasab. Man baqta'a bihi amaluhu, whoever is drawn back by his own deeds, whoever is drawn back by his own deeds, by means of his own deeds, his own actions, he becomes drawn back, he becomes put back. Lam yakun li yusri'a bihi nasabu. The fact that, oh, my father was imam, oh, my mother was imama, oh, my father was hafiz of the Quran, it will not bring any benefit to him. For example, a father has a child that becomes a non-Muslim and dies upon other than Islam. This father will not be able to benefit this child that has died upon other than Islam. Even though he's a hafiz of the Quran and the teacher of the Quran, who may have the ability to make shafa'ah for people on the day of Qiyamah. This shafa'ah will not be there for this person because the person had died as a non-Muslim. His own actions, the child's action who died upon other than Islam, have set back that child. So, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُسْرِ عَدِهِ نَصَبُ. The fact that his father was a person of the religion cannot bring him forward. Let's note this point. Because you keep on hearing some of the people say, no, sorry to say my brothers from Ilorin. People say, oh, I'm from Ilorin, so I'm from Ilorin. My father was imam. My aunt, uncle was imam. مَنْ بَقْتَ عَدِهِ أَمَلُهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُسْرِ عَدِهِ نَصَبُهُ. If this is the case with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that amongst the relatives of the messenger himself, he was warning them that فَإِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. I will not be able to help you unless you help yourself upon iman. How about others who are not from the relatives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So my father is imam does not guarantee you anything until you yourself you are upon the path of righteousness. My mother was hafiz of Quran. My mother was this. My father was this. One of the brothers, Tristan, said, oh, my father was a graduate of University of Medina. That does not mean anything. Or, who are you is the matter. Who are you? What are your good deeds? What are your righteous deeds? What have you done to put yourself forward? What your daddy had done was to put himself forward. But what have you done as an individual to bring yourself forward? This is what matters most in any situation. That, oh, my father was this, oh, my mother was this, oh, my uncle was this. It does not matter. My father is the Mufassir in our town. It does not matter. What matters especially is who are you and what have you done to put yourself forward as an individual upon the path of Islam. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop upon this hadith. We'll be continuing in the next class with other ahadith about Silatul Rahim. Today, the point of reference is that it is compulsory upon every one of us to be sure that we connect our family ties. That obligation has come from the Quran. That obligation has come from the Sunnah. That obligation has come from Al-Ijma. And we have seen it in the two ahadith that we have read. The Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was commanded to connect family ties. Despite the fact that those members of his family at that time were all upon shirk at the time. Yes, he was commanded to connect family ties with them. And the connection of family ties in this aspect was inviting them onto Islam. So it means from the major aspects of connecting family ties is to invite those amongst our family who are far away or near, bringing them onto Islam counts amongst a major means of fulfilling the obligation of keeping family ties. I hope that Allah, and I pray that Allah makes us understand this hadith better than we had explained. We can take a few questions, inshallah, before we call it a day today, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Ya Sheikh Khan.
Ameen wa antum. Jazakumullah khairan. Ameen wa antum.
We have talked about two questions today.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, the first question says, what if a non-Muslim parent insists that the child should buy her chicken, Christmas chicken, or gifts?
We should not do it. We should not do it. If they insist, we should not do it. Don't forget in the first place that you're trying to create a good relationship with them. It is because you want to obey Allah. You're creating a good relationship with the parents is a means of obeying Allah. So when you do it here, you are helping them upon what they are upon. It means if they are idolaters and they want to sacrifice a dog, you go and buy them a dog for the sacrifice. This is not lawful. So it is not correct even though they insist. But try to be nice to them even outside this time and more, so that it will be clear that it is not about their celebrations. It is about the basic command for you to be nice to parents. So, but when they insist that, no, in this Christmas you must buy, or in this whatever you must buy this for them to celebrate it, if you do it, you are becoming an accomplice upon what they are upon, which is far away from Islam.
Amen.
One, two.
Now, this question says, can I have a clearance seat or discounted seat this period?
What is your purpose for having it? Is the purpose for having it is to make it easy for Christians, non-Muslims to buy things and celebrate, then it is wrong for you to do so. If your intention is, oh, let me make it easy so that Christians will come and buy and celebrate, it is wrong for you to do so. That's prohibited. You'll be cooperating with them upon sin, and this is wrong as far as our religion is concerned. But if it is just from the aspect of your trade, you could have done it at any other time, whether there was Christmas or no Christmas. If it just happens that that sale is happening around this time, then there is no blame. It could have happened in July. It could have happened in August. It could have happened in September. It could have happened in March. But it occurs that the way you make your sales this time around, it is happening in December. It has nothing to do with whether Christians are coming to buy or not. If it is, this is the situation, then there is no blame on you. But it is especially to attract more Christians to you to buy from you. This is wrong.
Now, the other question, some questions are now coming in now, sir.
Now,
I believe we can still take one or two from them.
Bismillah.
Okay, so now, this one says, what is the position of one spouse in the rank of relation?
We had mentioned it. We had mentioned the issues of our children and all of that. Our wives are connected to us by marriage. And the matters regarding this, inshallah, we are still coming back to them in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. Our wives are connected to us by marriage. And the concern immediately now is regarding those who are connected to us by birth. We and our wives have not been born from the same womb, except in cases where you have cousins who are husbands and wives. And this is something we hardly do these days, even though it is from our religion. You hardly find cousins becoming married. If cousins had been married, yes, this question would be valid for them at this time because they are both husbands and wives and then they are relatives. But even at that, our concern regarding them now is the concern of that. Connection by birth, not connection by marriage. Inshallah, when we come to connection by marriage, we'll be discussing that and telling us where does the wife belong in that. But at this moment, our discussions are about those with whom we are connected by birth. Allahu
Akbar. This question is related to the one we asked about clarity. The questioner is asking about buying during Black Friday. Can we make purchases when they are saying it's Black Friday.
What do you mean by Black Friday?
Black Friday is the kind of promotion when they do, they reduce prices. Say during Black Friday.
No Friday is black with Allah. No Friday is black with Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Islam, we approach issues according to their realities. The reality is that there is no Black Friday in Islam. Every Friday is bright, especially after we observe Salatul Jummah. The Friday is as good as any other day. From the best of days is Yawmul Jummah. And I think they may have sinister motives for naming that Friday to be black. So I think Muslims should avoid these kinds of expressions, Black Friday. We should avoid these kinds of expressions. There's no Black Friday in Islam. And those who employ Black Friday may have sinister motives. Why not Black Sunday? Why not Black Saturday? So let's avoid these kinds of ascriptions. And we know when they say black, they don't intend something good. It is in our own religion that we don't care about which color it is, except for a few of the colors that have been prohibited for men. Otherwise, black is black. Everybody is, any color is accepted in our religion. But for them, the users of this expression, we know that when they say black, they are ascribing that thing to something that is evil. But whatever the case may be, let's remove this kind of ascription. Let's not be the ones who also continue to help them propagate this expression of a Friday they call to be black. And there is nothing that is black about a Friday. All that is about a Friday is goodness, except the fact that the day of Qiyamah, the last day, will occur on a Friday. Apart from that, Fridays have the goodness. The best of days, the best of the days that Allah has created is the day of Jummah. And it has a time from Salatul Asr to Salatul Maghrib in which when an individual supplicates, Allah accepts the supplication. So there is nothing bad about a Friday at all. And Salatul Fajri on Friday in Jama'ah is the best of Salat to observe. Alayhi Salatul Salam. When you observe Salatul Fajri in Jama'ah, it's from the best of Salawat. So there is nothing that is bad upon a Friday. Allah created Adam alayhi salam upon a Friday. He placed him in Al-Jannah upon a Friday. He brought him out of Al-Jannah on a Friday. So all of these have been mentioned about Friday. Friday is the virtuous day for us. There's nothing black about it. So if they connect this to sales and reduction of prices, you can choose another day if you want to do that in your own company. Choose another day. Choose a Monday. Choose a Tuesday. Choose a Wednesday. Choose any other day. So if you want to choose a Friday, it is allowed for you, but don't call it slack. So if a person selling a product says, okay, tomorrow if you come, I will reduce the price. There is no blame in that. The basic thing is about the fact that myself, the buyer, and you, the seller, we have agreed on a price for your product. Whether you choose to reduce your price or you choose to increase your price, that is something else up onto you. But as long as myself, the buyer, and you, the seller, can agree on a price, there's no blame upon each of us. We can agree upon a price for the product. It can be upon any day. So whether you chose to reduce the price on a Monday, to reduce the price on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it does not matter. If you reduce it on a Friday, it has not made the Yawmul Jummah to become black. Allahu Akbar. I think we can stop here, inshallah.
نعم
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمه الله وبركاته